You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You know, last week there was a lot of things going on. By the way, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio program. We better hurry up and speed this hour through before they reset the internet connection here in the ballroom again. But anyway, last week we didn't do our typical hour dedicated to Confederate History Month as we do each program during the month of April because we had... You were out of town, Keith. It was Eddie's last show because he was running in the marathon here in Nashville today, and then we had a couple of guests. Anyway, we're going to do it now, obviously. We're going to celebrate Confederate History Month some more, but I think we may have the grand finale of Confederate History Month 2015 next week. We'll bleed it over one more week just so it gets its full
treatment.
Right, full treatment. And you were talking just a moment ago. We actually, I guess, started it a segment early tonight. The Confederate History Month Hour for tonight's live broadcast, you were reading an article from the Free Magnolia that certainly ties in with what
which
we're
is
doing.
A publication of the League of the South. And let me tell you, what we've been talking about tonight, the ROTC protest in which the cadets are marching in drill in red high-heeled shoes to protest date rape, and then the Bruce Jenner saga that has just totally dominated the news cycle over the past 24 hours. You know, try as I might, I just can't make myself believe that either of those stories are worthy of a moment's attention. You know, this qualifies for what Mick Jagger said and called useless information supposed to drive my imagination in the song from 1965, Can't Get No Satisfaction. We can't get any satisfaction living in a blue state America dominated nation with a blue state America dominated media. That's why the League of the South, I think, is right on target by reopening the discussion on secession. Secession is happening throughout the globe. Scotland has voted on a referendum about secession from the United Kingdom. And even though they voted it down by a narrow margin, we now live in a brave new world. We no longer have to face guns and bullets by an oppressive authoritarian regime that wants to draw us back in when we want to break away. Throughout the civilized world now, people that decide that it's time to go their own way, have their own nation, have been allowed to make that determination. And what is happening, the cesspool, the stew of perversion and sin that is served up to us on a daily basis, and their efforts to move the mainstream of America, the compass, the moral center of the nation, further and further to the left, to the point where we're supposed to believe that Robert E. Lee is a villain and is evil, but Bruce Jenner, the transgendered mentally ill individual, is somehow, you know, a hero. You know, if that doesn't point out the need for secession, I don't know what does, Jay.
Well, I know we're hell-bent tonight to revisit the red high heels and Bruce Jenner story every single segment, but this does bring up a good point, though, Keith. Let's put this question to the audience. Could you see a real man, a real hero, like Robert E. Lee or Nathan Bedford Forrest or Stonewall Jackson or any of these men that we revere so rightly so.
George McClellan.
In the Confederacy. Could you see any of those men? Could you see Nathan Bedford Forrest marching around in red high heels?
No, I couldn't see George McClellan. I couldn't see any sensible person. And as a result, you know, red state America
real
does
soldiers.
Not want, we do not want to join blue state America in their insanity, okay? And, you know, we will resurrect the ideas of our Confederate ancestors and say, you know, it's time to part company, folks. That's
well, you look around at these stories, and these are just two that we're focusing on tonight, but there's no shortage of any number of examples along these lines. And you just look at the hatred for the South that Washington has today more than ever. I mean, Lincoln was far more understanding of the South than modern-day politicians, even from the South. I mean, Lincoln said great things about the South even after Lee's surrender. And obviously, Lincoln was a tyrant, and he was an evil man, but he was far more understanding of the Confederate cause than people today. There's more hatred for the South, more hatred for Christians today, and of course, the Confederacy was known for its great Christian revivals in the ranks of its armies, and people like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson really epitomized what it meant to be a Christian soldier. They were great Christian leaders.
Abraham Lincoln knew what this was all going to lead to. I think he would have joined the South in seceding from the
Union. I mean, even Lincoln, and we read passages from Pat Buchanan's article, Hatred of the South, It's Hatred of America. Lincoln, many, many times in the course of his presidency, said that if he could, you know, he was not fighting for the right of the slaves. If he could preserve the Union without freeing a slave, he would do it. He even tried to compel the Confederacy to come back and end the war well before their defeat, and he was going to let them keep their slaves even after the Emancipation Proclamation. So I was reading this thing in the Huffington Post, and they said, you know, of course the war was about slavery. And when they wrote, of course, Keith, they put it in italics, because when you put something in italics, that means it has to be true. Of course it was about slavery. Well, no one believed that. No one believes that knows anything about it. No one believed that even.
So let's explode that into the last right now. This
few
is
years.
One of the things we do every Confederate History Month. We need to revisit this because it can't be said enough. The mainstream narrative is that the Civil War was all about slavery. Righteous abolitionists that totally populated and totally dominated political opinion in the North was against slavery, and that the South seceded because they wanted to maintain slavery. Now, this ignores historical reality. It's trying to project modern thought and modern opinions on historical figures, and that never works. People in the antebellum North and South would never, you know, anybody that believed like a modern liberal on the issue of race would have been deemed mentally ill in antebellum America. Nobody believed it. Even Frederick Douglass wouldn't have believed what a normal standard issue racial liberal in America today believes on the issue of race. Now, what proof do we have that the South was not interested in preserving slavery as their primary motivation for seceding from the Union? Two words. We're going to give you bullet points and arguments to which to confound your liberal enemies on this trite bit of nonsense about the true cause of the Civil War. The true cause was not slavery. It was political and economic domination. Write it down. What proof do I have of that? Number one. The Corwin Amendment, Corwin. Write it down, look it up, type that in your Google box on your computer, and you'll find out about it. The Corwin Amendment was the original proposed 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. What did it say? It was proposed by a northern congressman named Corwin. And if the South had not seceded from the Union, and all of them had voted in favor of the Corwin Amendment would have been the law of the land. It would have been the 13th Amendment. If we've whetted your appetite, stay tuned. We'll tell you all about the Corwin Amendment after these words from our sponsor.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
You know, we have an international audience, people all across the country, from certainly from regions other than the South, and all around the sea, to shining sea. That's a tongue twister for me. But I'm telling you, when you hear that song, you should stand up and salute, because that is a song for all of our people, and that is a song that people should have nothing but goodwill toward. Because, you know, this war that is against our people right now, this war on whites, this war on conservatives, this war on the South, this war on Christianity, it's all connected, and the Confederacy represented the best of all of the things we cherish now. Family, God, country, you know, if you were...
Traditional values, it was the Southerners had close to their hearts the original vision of the Founding Fathers. It was Abraham Lincoln that decided to turn America from what the Founding Fathers intended it to be, which was a free people who did not meddle in the affairs of others, into the imperialistic juggernaut that it is today.
Right, and listen, all of the founders would have fought for the South, and most of their descendants did, and that's not just pie in the sky.
And all of the big intellectual wheels among the Founding Fathers were, for the most part, Southerners. John Adams was an exception, but everyone else, from Nathaniel Macon to Patrick Henry to Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Southerners to the man. They were the people that actually crafted our Constitution, and that's why the left, and particularly the Jewish left, has so much trouble with the Constitution, because there weren't any Jews that crafted it.
And the thing is, the war against the South has only become more hate-fueled in the 150 years since Lee surrendered Appomattox, and which occurred, of course, this year, earlier this month, in fact. So it continues on. It continues to become even more venomous. And in the South, you know, the South was Christian, and the South was good people. And that was one of the reasons they're still hated today. You know, you got all this stuff. God's been taken out of school. That happened about 100 years after the end of the war in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, you tell people that, you know, they evolved from animals. And guess what? They're going to behave like animals. You tell people that they came from a creator God who loves them, and they might just act godly, but all of this is interrelated. All of this, you know, goes back to the hatred that certain forces have had, and, you know, certainly that predates us by a long stretch, Keith. But going back to, as we continue to celebrate Confederate History Month, the true causes of the war, what they were, what they weren't. And I saw in some article they were talking about how dare, you know, we celebrate Confederate History Month in April because it is an officially designated event in still seven states in the South. And I read an article saying, how dare these states still in the year 2015 honor Confederate history? Why do they do it, Keith? And what were the true causes? They say
because Confederates were right and Confederates were righteous, and because we should secede, because anyone that ascribes to a Christian worldview and a small government worldview would have been a Confederate if they had known what the whole war was about. There's been a conspiracy to keep this information from today's public, and particularly our young people. And that's because the left insists upon rewriting history to make history a series of what they call teachable moments. And the teachable moment is that progressives and liberals are good, and people that oppose progressive or liberal change are bad. Now, the reason slavery is not the real reason for the Civil War was the Corwin Amendment. I set the table for it in the last segment. What the Corwin Amendment said was this. It said that slavery would remain forever free, legal, and inviolate in all states and territories where it was then legal. That meant that slavery was guaranteed constitutionally, was going to be guaranteed constitutionally to be subject to no change for the remaining history of the United States by the 13th Amendment. But the South persisted and seceded anyway. If the South was seceding about slavery, the Corwin Amendment would have settled the controversy. There would have been no need to have secession. But the South was seceding for much more than slavery. Slavery was just one indicator. The real reason for the secession is more brought into focus by another legal development called the Morrell Tariff. Now, regarding the Corwin Amendment, Abraham Lincoln was totally and completely in favor of it. He wrote a personal letter to the governor of every state in the Union at the time of his election, including the southern states that eventually seceded and became the Confederacy, urging the governors to use all of their influence to get it ratified by their state legislatures. In other words, Abraham Lincoln was all in support of the Corwin Amendment. He was not the great emancipator. He was the great maven of big government. He wanted the United States to be a large, wealthy, populous nation that could project its power on the world stage. He was the first American president that had that vision. And it was totally at odds with the vision of the founding fathers. Now, what was the Morrell Tariff? If slavery wasn't the real issue, what was? Well, it was economic and political domination. The South had learned from the end of the era of good feelings, that's what they called the era running up to the Monroe presidency and up to John Quincy Adams's presidency. That ended with the corrupt bargain. The corrupt bargain was Andrew Jackson's name for the machinations of the first turncoat Southerner, Henry Clay, a Whig, and John Quincy Adams, a Federalist and the son of John Adams. Basically, what happened was you had a three Way race for the presidency in 1824 following James Monroe's presidency. The winner in terms of total number of votes was Andrew Jackson. He had the most votes, but he didn't have the plurality he needed to win outright. The next person was John Quincy Adams, and after that was Henry Clay. But Henry Clay and John Quincy Adams, if you put their votes together, would have allowed one of them to win. Henry Clay conspired with John Quincy Adams to have John Quincy Adams take the electoral votes that Henry Clay got, which allowed him to jump ahead of Andrew Jackson and win the presidency. And in return, Henry Clay was guaranteed and promised and given the position of Secretary of State, which at that time was deemed to be the stepping stone to the presidency. So Andrew Jackson felt aggrieved by this, called it a corrupt bargain, and basically started running for presidency 4 years ahead of the next election and was elected. Now, that was the beginning of the sectional strife between the North and the South. At least it brought it to a head. There was a difference between the North and the South that was just built into the economies of both areas. The South had a lot of flat alluvial soil. The North did not. They had narrow rivers with a lot of speed in the water, where the South had broad rivers without it. What's the significance of that? We'll tell you after these words from our sponsors.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, the American Freedom Party.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
They may have beaten the army at long last with more supplies and more men, but they will never conquer our indomitable spirit. And we celebrate Confederate History Month here on the Political Cesspool every April, as everyone who values the truth and goodness should, regardless of whether you live in the South or somewhere else around the world. And how refreshing is it to have a radio program such as ours in this time of universal deceit and hatred towards the South that just reminds you that it's okay to be a Southerner, and much more than that, it's something that you should be very proud of, and certainly I consider myself to be a Southerner first. Being an American now, I don't even know if that ranks a distant second. I mean, to be an American now, to be what is considered an ideal American in terms of the media and our government, their government in Washington, you have to be in favor of all the stuff we've been talking about tonight. You have to think it's great that these Army cadets were marching around in high heels. You have to be think Bruce Jenner is, you know, that is what it means to be an American now. In their opinion. But I'll tell you what, we got real Americans here tonight, and we've got people right here on the front row who for years now have been helping keep this program on the air so we can bring you episodes and shows like this. We got a guy right here from Mississippi, right here in Arkansas, Florida, all who have contributed. Great folks. Back in the back, people who've been listening to this show for 10 years and from Missouri.
Alabama,
we got our next guest who's going to come on right after Keith finishes up his point that he was making before the break, from Alabama, who had just ordered dinner when we called him up, and so his plate's probably waiting on him. So we're going to let Keith wrap up his points from the previous segment, then we're going to get Brad Griffin on of OccidentalDescent.com.
Okay, what were the real reasons for the Civil War? Okay, we're basically two nations, were from the very beginning. First of all, had different topography. We had an agricultural society in the South because they had a lot of alluvial soil, which was very rich, but broad, slow-running rivers that were not suited to driving water wheels, which were the source, preferred power source for factories. New England, on the other hand, had very thin, rocky, non-fertile soil, but they did have narrow, swift-running rivers to drive industrial machinery. So they developed an industrial society. We developed an agrarian society. Furthermore, the people, the racial stock was different. The South was populated by the Scots-Irish primarily. They were people brought in as part of the founding stock, but the last group in the 1740s to provide a buffer between Indian territory and the more settled areas of the East. The North, particularly New England, was settled by snobbish people from around the environs of London. I have English relatives. I can tell you that England is just the opposite of America. In America, you're a hick if you're from the South. You're a sophisticate if you're from the North. In England, the nearer you are to London, the more of a sophisticate you are, and the further out from the margins you are, the more of a hick you are. And Southerners, being Scots-Irish, were from places like Wales. They were from places like Ireland. They were from places like Scotland and Northern England. They were the hicks. and the people from the Northeast, the Puritan stock, they were from East Anglia and the regions, what they call the home counties around London. So they had a sense of moral superiority that particularly irked Southerners and made us not a good fit as one nation. Now, the other thing, what was the real reason? Well, the Morrell Tariff I mentioned earlier. The Morrell Tariff was passed in the early days of the Lincoln administration, again named after a congressman named Morrell. It basically raised the tariff on manufactured goods by almost doubling it to around 47%. Who paid the tariff? Southerners paid the tariff because they had to import manufactured goods from Britain and France in order to induce Britain and France to buy their agricultural products, cotton, indigo, tobacco. Cotton was two-thirds of our agricultural exports at that time. The British and the French would not have bought our agricultural products, particularly the cotton, had we not done that. In fact, they were developing other markets at the time in India and in Egypt. They were growing cotton as well, so we had to do what we could to ingratiate them, so we had to buy manufactured goods. Now, the federal government was run on tariffs primarily and other excises like the whiskey tax. The biggest part of it was the tariff on manufactured goods manufactured abroad, and the South was paying 80% of that money. Where was the money going? Whenever the Whigs got into power, and they were the predecessors of Lincoln's Republican Party, it was going for a program they called internal improvements. These were transportation systems like the Pennsylvania Turnpike, the Erie Canal, and increasingly in the 1830s, railroads. There was only one major east-west railroad in the land that became the Confederacy by the eve of the Civil War. That was the Memphis to Charleston Railroad, and that was built entirely by private funds. Meanwhile, all of these northern railroads, the Grand Trunk Railroad, the B&O, Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, the Chesapeake Railroad, the Reading Railroad, all built with a healthy assist of federal governmental money, all located in the north, to make it easier for farmers in the Midwest and the upper Midwest to ship their products to the East Coast for consumption and or export. So basically the South was providing 80% of the money to run the federal government, but 90% of the internal improvements were being built outside the South. So the South felt its cow was being milked through the fence. And this was a major irritant, and they looked at the political landscape of the day and said, the federal government is oppressing us, and the federal government is in the more or less permanent control of our political enemies. What do we do about it? Well, they want a divorce. But like most people that want a divorce, they would have preferred an uncontested divorce to a contested one. So all of this folklore about that comes from movies like Gone with the Wind, that the Southerners were these fire eaters that wanted to, they just were hungering for a war with the Yankees, and they thought the one Southerner was the equivalent of 10 Yankees.
Well, that much is true.
Well, it may be true, but that's not what the Southerners thought at the time. The thinking people knew that they were hoping for some type of negotiated settlement or an uncontested divorce. They didn't get it. Basically, Lincoln was hungering for the South to fire the first shots. He kept trying to provoke the thing by sending in supplies to fortified positions like Fort Sumter and the fort in Pensacola, and finally provoked a Southern battery to fire on the forces at Fort Sumter. Not one man was killed in that bombardment. The only person killed at Fort Sumter was a Union soldier who was killed by a backfire when the Federals were leaving the force and fort and firing a cannon within the fort to signify this. The cannon exploded and this man was killed. So the firing on Fort Sumter was just a pretext, and the real war fighting started then. The seven coastal states of the South seceded, and then after Sumter, Lincoln said he wanted 75,000 troops to put down per state to put down the rebellion. Arkansas, Tennessee, Virginia, and North Carolina joined the other seven to provide the 11 states that made up the Confederacy.
Well, I'll tell you what, you've got more truth right there in the last 10 minutes than you're going to get on Southern, on the true causes of the Second Revolutionary War, Lincoln's War, whatever you want to call it, Second War for Independence. That is why this program is one of the reasons this program is so valuable, I think, to free thinking and honest people. And it is always such an honor to do this Confederate History Month series just so, for what good it is and what good it does and what it's worth, that we can combat the lies told about the South. The war's about slavery. Man, that took a lot of critical thinking. And, I mean, you know, these people that write these articles, they don't know anything. Do you think they've ever done a bit of research, or are they just parroting what their editor deems to be okay? Here you get well-researched, and you would have to research the stuff Keith brought up. I mean, that's not just something you rattle off the top of your head. One of the reasons I'm so proud to be working with this show. But the one thing to remember is that as we're coming up on a break, and I hope your dinner's not getting cold already. It keeps went a little bit longer than he was supposed to, but it was all good stuff. We're going to talk about the future of the South. It's not all history, and it's not all said and done. There is still a unique culture present here, and we're going to talk about the future of the South with the man who's fighting for it, and that's Brad Griffin of OccidentalDescent.com. Stay tuned for that. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Last segment of the night. My goodness, we're going to have to go out and have a good time after this, I'll tell you what. We got good people to have a good time with. We just heard some breaking news during the commercial break. Kyle Rogers came in and said, according to Fox News downstairs in the hotel lobby, they've got some rioting going on in Baltimore. The denizens of the urban undertow engaging in one of their favorite pastimes, it would appear. So we'll keep track of that. And I'm sure you can read all about it at CFCC.org before we get back on the air with you next Saturday. But I really enjoyed Keith's analysis and his commentary on the true causes of Lincoln's war. And, you know, we enjoy examining that. We enjoy celebrating who we are. We enjoy saluting our heroes, the great Confederates. And, you know, that was our incentive gift for those who donated last month to the Political Cesspool. You get this book called Rebel Wisdom. It contains quotes from some of the best-known Confederates to the unknown private that were compiled over the course of the 4 years of the Confederate States in America. But the thing to remember, as I said before the break, when you deal with the South, is that it's not all about history. We have a future, and we still exist as a unique and distinct people. We have a culture and traditions that are unlike any other part of this country. We are still, and that is, of course, the first prerequisite to being an independent nation. And the South still has that, even despite all of the hatred, even despite all of the attempts to water down the South. And certainly the South isn't as robust as it was, but it still exists as unique ethnostate, as far as I'm concerned. And we're dealing with a man who is concerned with the future of the South and is fighting to preserve it and protect it. And that is Brad Griffin of OccidentalDescent.com, also heavily involved with the League of the South. Brad, welcome back to the show. Always good to see you.
Always good to be here, James, and thanks for having me on.
Al, as I mentioned before, you know, we're talking about sacrifices. Brad had just ordered at the restaurant across the street when we called him up to see where he was. So his food's probably getting cold right now as he is here to talk and to lead us in to the final minutes here. But, you know, this is a guy who is certainly worthy of the support of everyone in the Political Cesspool's audience, because he gets out and he engages in street demonstrations. And the motto of the League of the South, the purpose, the statement of purpose is, we seek to advance the cultural, social, economic, and political well-being and independence of the Southern people by all honorable means. And sometimes that goes above and beyond talking about things on the radio, putting it on websites. You have to get involved. And Brad's one of the biggest advocates, as I am as well, but he talks about it more than I do. We have to be more than e-activists. We have to have a presence out there in the real world, and certainly you're doing it as a member of the council, as a member of the board now of the council, and congratulations on that. As a member of the League of the South, and certainly through your website, Occidental Descent, you've been involved in more street demonstrations protecting people of the South against harmful immigration policies and any number of other closely assorted topics than anybody I know.
That's exactly right, James. And what we're going to talk about today is something that's happened down in Tallahassee, Florida, over the last 2 weeks. And down in Tallahassee, Florida, it was the 150th anniversary of Appomattox. And unbeknownst to us, a student group called Students for a Democratic Society, which is a communist group, they got together and they had a protest at the Florida State Capitol. And what they did is they unfurled a Confederate battle flag. This is on the 150th anniversary of Appomattox. Unfurled it there. Okay. And they spit on it. They stomped on it. They ripped it. And they burned it to shreds. And this was all over the evening news. And it was all in the local papers. And it actually got national publicity.
Again, how brave. I mean, to go against the establishment like that. I mean, you know, how much courage does it take to spit and tear up a Christian flag like the St. Andrew's Cross? You know, the Confederate battle flag, or it's really the naval jack, but we know it as the Confederate battle flag. I mean, you know, they think they're being brave in doing something worthy of applause. I mean, they've got the entire system backing up their narrative, their false narrative. And I mean, how disgusting. You know, and that's the thing, and this gets back to, you know, about us being honorable and our enemies being hate-filled degenerates. I don't have anything in common with communists, but I wouldn't take that. I'm here to uplift and serve my people. I'm not going to waste time going out and spit on their flag. It's not even worthy of my spit.
I don't know about that, cousin.
Well, I mean, you know,
you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it just to, you know, for the hell of it.
Right, right. What they were doing.
It was extremely offensive and it was extremely provocative. And what they did is not only they said that we were anybody who disagreed with them was cowards for not being there, and that we didn't deserve any free speech. And if we showed up in Tallahassee, or if anybody showed up to defend our point of view, they were going to kick us out. Well, we found out that a week later they were having their own little demonstration in favor of the communists down in Venezuela. And so we decided we'd all get together. You know,
I set Brad up for his what he's about to say. And of course, I was being a little facetious, and
I know. we didn't really appreciate what they did to the Confederate battle flag. So
turnabout's fair play in this case,
so,
right?
So we went down there. We went down there, and they were having their little street demonstration, and about 12 of us went down there, and we confronted them right there to their face. And asked them if they were going to burn the Confederate flag again now, and then we actually unfurled the
sickle and hammer.
We unfurled the Soviet flag, and my friend, he wiped his head with it, and he laid it out right in front of them, and then he spit on it.
But do they claim that as their flag, though?
Yeah, well,
I mean, is this
this guy, he's a member of about 400 communist groups on Facebook. he's got as his profile picture him in front of a picture of Karl Marx. So,
well, listen, I've got flag. To defend our flag. We've got to defend our people, and sometimes that takes, you know, people think confrontation is such a bad word. I mean, you're not out there, obviously, fighting these people and doing something illegal that's going to get yourself arrested. But we have got to be man enough to stand up and defend our flag, our people, our heritage, even if it causes us to have to go out into the street and oppose these people face to face. There is nothing wrong with that.
And here's the important reason that we did that. Well, the media knew that we were coming down there, and they knew that there was going to be a confrontation. And so we got interviewed by the local media. We explained to the local media that they were communists. And we were on the evening news and in the Tallahassee Democrat. So we got out our perspective, and, you know, we had one of our people interviewed, and their spokesman was a man in a dress wearing lipstick, carrying a purse, and, you know, was a revolutionary socialist or communist. And that's what people saw on the evening news, and they saw the contrast. And if we hadn't have gone down there and got our point of view out, we wouldn't have been heard.
And what was the reaction from the rabble, tuck, tail, and run, when they were actually, you know, challenged? And again, we're not talking about fisticuff or violent confrontation. We're talking about, a spirited disagreement in the flesh.
Well, they screamed at us and called us racist. And, but they also gave us, delivered some speeches on cisgendered heteronormative privilege.
I got to do a little more research. I still don't know what cisgender means. What is that?
I believe it means you're comfortable with your own identity. So if you're a male who's straight, it means you're comfortable with that. Although, I'm not exactly.
Does that apply to us, then?
Yeah.
We are
cisgendered, I think, in that we are male heterosexuals, and we're comfortable in that identity.
Okay. All right. So. I guess some people would call that normal. But in any case, what Brad's talking about here is just one example of doing something positive for our people. And like I said, I mean, we've got a lot of great people here that come to these meetings, and all of this is necessary. And we need to obviously have a media voice, which we have with the Political Cesspool. We obviously need to have well-trafficked websites like we have with Kyle Rogers and the council. Of course, you get a ton of traffic too at OD, Brad. And it's important to have all of that. But in addition to that, to complement that, all of it's needed. All of it goes into the blender. You've also got to have people willing to defend these ideas in real life. And whether it's, you know, this situation with the flag, them tearing up our flag, and you responding in kind. Well, if you can burn an American flag, why can't you burn the sickle and hammer?
In front of them, that was the best part.
Right. But, you know, whether it's protesting immigration, as you've done in so many cases, all across the South, and Brad is all over the place. He's crisscrossing this thing like Carmen Sandiego. And just doing a great job. Wherever you know, our people need a lift, it seems as though Brad's there, and you can follow. What's great is that he documents all of this at Occidental Dissent, and almost always it comes with photo documentation as well.
Oh, that's right.
So, you know, that's the name of the game, is that, you know, as we celebrate Confederate History Month, and we're going to try to do one more hour on it next week since we shortchanged it a little bit last week, but this is the last week of April, which is, of course, the designated month for celebrating Confederate history and heritage. I just want to remind people that as important as it is to revere our roots and to understand the cause and effect of that war and who was right and who was wrong and the true heroes and villains, all that's important, and we need to have a firm grasp and understanding and comprehension of our history, but it's not all in the past. The Southern people still exist as a unique and good and different people, and this has to be a forward-thinking thing as well, and people like Brad are ensuring that it's so. Well, Brad, get back over to dinner with your beautiful wife and young child, and for the rest of you, I'll see you in Memphis next week when I'm back home. Thanks for everybody for coming out tonight here in Nashville. We'll see you next week. God bless y'all.
thepoliticalcesspool.org.